Good morning. We have some scripture passages that you will find in your bulletins, and these are a couple of wonderful passages that have to do with hope. And so let's find them and we'll read these together. How about that? Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But God's Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love God and are called according to God's purpose. And then from Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, those of old received divine approval. By faith, we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear." Right. And here ends our scripture reading. May God bless our understanding and our living of this word of abundant life. So the last couple weeks in church, you know what I think about the last couple weeks in church? I think they were awesome. They were. We had Youth Sunday, it was last week, and then Sunday before that, we had Pivot Choir and Pivot Ministries, and then afterwards, there's Charles Grady there with, you know, talking about Hang Time and Her Time, and there's somebody from that program as well, and I feel like it was amazingly transformational. They are these incredible organizations of love and of support, and you know, I think about us as a church lifting up our youth and supporting, you know, just supporting each other, kind of like Laura was saying in the children's sermon. And some people I was talking to about these last couple of weeks used words like inspirational and renewing and uplifting. And we were able, you know, thinking about the Pivot Choir especially, we were able to meet and worship and sing and pray with, and they happen to be all guys, but, you know, with these people from the organizations, right, whose lives had been, and we heard from one of them, lives had been in the pit of despair, right? I mean, as about as low as you can possibly get. Homeless, addicted to all sorts of things, served time in jail. Some had lost custody of their children. And their lives not too long ago, some of them even a couple of weeks ago, their lives were completely out of control. But then their lives turned around completely. And literally, and even physically, they were saved. Not a word that we use a whole lot in this congregation. But they were saved. They were saved by the grace of God. They were saved by the giving and loving hard work of people who put their care and their faith into action. And the spirit of those people, my God, what a day, right? So incredibly powerful. Each one of them had worked so hard, and they were just bursting and shining, right, with joy and with enthusiasm. They were powered by hope, and I don't know about you, but my hope was lifted just being with them. And that was that. So there I was. I'm all filled with inspiration and joy and enthusiasm and everything. And then I read an article that said this. It said, "Recent poll shows souring mood in America on everything." I thought, man, what a contrast, right? These people obviously were not in church. Because the article, it didn't say that, you know, people were just soured about some things. It said everything, everything. And I thought, you ever notice how you can be feeling awesome at one moment, and then somebody can just come in and just throw a wet blanket on everything, and just be a downer and spoil everybody's mood. And I thought, you know, if this headline wasn't enough, it actually went on to list exactly what people were discouraged about, and it ranked them from bad to worse, or from worse to worser, or something. And none of these things would be a surprise to any of you. It listed this: the economy, the wars, cost of health care, immigration, cost of living, safety, taxes, presidential race, government corruption, and then there was environment, education, and finally, terrorism. That was the list. And now I will tell you that I lied about something in that list, because it wasn't from last week. That was a list from an article actually in 2008. Haven't we been worrying about some of the same things for a really long time? Worry, worry, worry. Bad news is not creative. Bad news doesn't help solve a single problem, nor is it anything new. And people who dwell on those things instead of working to help solve issues and create actual hope, a lot of those people will tell you, well, at least I'm in touch with reality. So here's a question: are these concerns true? The answer is, of course they're true. It's part of the truth, but is it the whole truth? Do these things reflect the whole picture of reality of what is going on in the world? Because you know what? Some people get so focused there on this stuff that if you are one of those people, you are going to be discouraged. You are going to be sour about everything. I can get that way sometimes, you know, depending on what I'm looking at, what I'm focusing on. But then I remember things like, well, how about those addicted men and women whose lives have been transformed by the love and hard work of others? How about by the love and work of your support, of our support? We're not innocent bystanders in this. How about the people that we're going to meet today after worship with Homebridge and what you're doing? Breaking the cycle of recidivism by creating supportive relationships, job training, placement, creating a supportive community. That doesn't come from nothing. He said that leads to healing. How about that as part of reality? What's really going on? Well, if you make the negative your reality, your world is going to be sour. And I think it's those people whose worlds are sour are the people, honestly, who really aren't doing anything to make it different. Not that much. How about Donna? How about Donna, who we're going to meet next Sunday? I was talking to Dave about her. She spent 25 years in prison. 25 years of her life. And then, through the hard work and determined faith of our own Dave Stewart, now she's free. Now she has received justice, even though 25 of her years she was incarcerated, when she really shouldn't have been. reversing a miscarriage of justice in my mind. So what are you going to pay attention to in this life? How are you going to invest your energy? How are you going to invest your resources? On souring things or on making hope real? You know what our faith does? You know what our faith has been doing for 2,000 years? Our faith takes the junk of the world. Our faith takes the problems of the world. And we take all this stuff and we create opportunity. We take people who are down and we lift up. We take all the stuff that society messes up and we create healing. And that takes work. Creating hope, that's a pretty awesome thing to do. I love that. So you take a look in your bulletins, and there's a picture in your bulletins, and it's a picture of a painting, and the painting is titled Hope. And it was painted by a man named George Frederick Watts, and he painted it in 1886. Now, that could be a time that we look back and we think, oh, the good old days. 1886, life was simpler then. It's a curious painting, isn't it? Titled Hope. There was a man named Reverend Dr. Sampson, Frederick Sampson, and he said this about that painting. He said it's a study in contradictions because its title, he said, you take the title and then you take the details on the canvas and they seem to be in direct opposition to each other. It's titled Hope, but it shows a woman who's sitting on top of the world playing a harp. Now, if you just simply heard that phrase, and if you weren't looking at the picture, you go, oh, she's sitting on top of the world. What's better than that? Just sitting on top of the world and playing your music. You look closer, and the illusion of satisfaction and success and ease gives way to a reality of pain. Because as we know, the world that she sits on top of, that's our world. And our world is torn by war, and it is torn by hate, and it's wrought by despair and division. A world that can care more about bombs for the enemy than bread for the hungry, right? So some say this world is a ticking time bomb. And that is the world on which the woman sits. She is on top of the world. But instead of heaven, it seems more like it's hell. Wearing tattered clothes, her head is bandaged. She is going through some kind of suffering, and it looks like she's got nothing left in the tank. Even all the strings on her harp, if your eyes are good enough, you can see, all the strings on her harp are broken, except for one. Except for one. And I'm thinking about what is it with that picture, what is it with that painting that I think that we have this relationship with it. You know, when you look at it, that it's like, I don't want to look at this. And yet there's something about it I'm kind of drawn in because, you know, sometimes I kind of feel this way. Might be dealing with some kind of a pain. Economic burden, family problems for myself or somebody who I love, medical problems. Someone we love is in trouble. Maybe trouble with their health or addictions, maybe with work, maybe with their marriage. Maybe they're at a crossroads. I asked one time in our congregation, you know, I'll ask again. Is there anybody here who doesn't have any problems? Just raise your hand. Be proud. Be proud. Raise that hand high. I do not have any problems. Look around. You know, I look at that painting and I think maybe we can identify with it, because I think with all of us, I think we've all had one of those days at one time or another where you feel like, you know what, the hill's just a little too steep to climb today. We're listening. So, you know, if you were to look at the original painting, I apologize with the, you know, size of the reproduction there, but if you're looking at it, what you see when you look a little closer, there's all this stuff, right, that we talked about, but then right above her head are some small musical notes that are joyfully just kind of playing over her head. Very faintly. And when you look at those, you can kind of begin to understand maybe, why is this titled Hope? Because in spite of being in a world torn by war and hate, division and all that, in spite of this woman sitting on top of the world with clothes in rags and scarred body and head bandaged and harp all but destroyed with only one string left, with that one string, right? With that one string, she had the audacity to make music and offer that gift to the world. I thought, now there's a secret to life, right? There is a secret to when you find yourself in all that stuff and you only have one string left. Play it. Share your gift, whatever that is, with the world. Make hope happen. If you don't do that for yourself, do it for somebody else. If you can't make your life better, make somebody else's life better. That, to me, is a secret ingredient to a life of strength, to a life of love, to a life of meaning, to a life of joy. Keep reaching out to God. Keep reaching out with our community of faith. Keep committing. Keep supporting. Sometimes, even with sighs too deep for words. Love that phrase. Make hope happen. Take that one string that you may have left and, by God, play it. Amen.